Let's go. Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. Give us a call at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. And, of course, Mike, you know I told you, hot take, Carter 2 better than the Carter 3, and this is just another example of it. But we got to revisit the conversation that we were having earlier in the show. We've been weaving in and out of this all day. It's the game last night, Thursday Night Football, where the Washington football team snatched one from the New York Giants, 30-29. And the topic of the conversation has been focused on the Giants, but I feel like we got to give some love to the football team because they had a quarterback that had a hell of a game. Taylor Heinicke showed up and showed out last night.
Man, you are not kidding. And this was always going to be the interesting element to last night. Wow. We had Marcus Spears on, and I have almost slipped and called you Marcus twice. That is a fine. I will pay that one at the door right here. That is on me. But, Chris, as we got into the game last night, the interesting thing to me was I thought no matter what happened, and this was in the lead-up yesterday, we were always going to react too much to what happened with the New York Giants. And that's not to take anything away from Daniel Jones, who we should talk about positively after the game that he had. But there's no question, Taylor Yolo Heinicke was on display again last night, and he has got the receivers on that team to pay it off. Like, Chris, if they're looking to build this team the right way, at least in the wide receiver room, they've begun that process very well for whoever takes over. Or do you think Taylor Heinicke's putting himself in a spot where he could actually be in consideration to be the guy?
Well, I don't know that Taylor Heinicke is going to be Mr. Right, but I think for Ron Rivera, he's Mr. Right now. I mean, you heard it last night during the broadcast. Like, the Washington football team has talked about wanting to develop this football team, making sure all the pieces are in place to properly support the franchise quarterback, and then being able to go out and make an aggressive move and go big game hunting. And so I think that's going to still be their approach. Because we got to keep in mind, like, the football team did decide to give Taylor Heinicke a contract this offseason and bring him back, but they bought him back at backup rates. And then they went out and they signed Ryan Fitzpatrick to be their starting quarterback, and that lasted all of about one half this season. So I still think there are a lot of folks within that building that view him in large part as a backup quarterback. Now, can he prove that he deserves to hang on to the job once Ryan Fitzpatrick comes back? Sure. But I don't know that Taylor Heinicke can do enough to prove that he's going to be the answer at the position long term.
Yeah, it's always a spot where, again, based on how he came into this and how he came into the league, you're going to be fighting an uphill battle on that front. Like, you've got to do so much more in this spot. But it's still a great moment for him. This was Taylor Heinicke, right now, the quarterback of the Washington football team, at the presser after the game, talking about getting that first win.
It's amazing. The first start was, what, 2 or 3 years ago in Carolina? Threw 3 picks. Tore my tricep. It was just a brutal thing, and that was my last start until last year, Tampa. Come in Tampa last year, had a good game, but ultimately fell up short, and then finally get that first win. So it's nice to get that weight off the shoulders, and hopefully we can keep the ball rolling.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, and Chris, we can let this breathe for him. Like, regardless of what happens, Taylor Heinicke has changed his NFL future from where he started to where it's going to be now. It's going to be there, but there's still a shot we can get Ryan Fitzpatrick back over the course of this season here, waiting to see what his injury timetable looks like. But it's just a reminder of the tough comparison here, not only for him, but for the rest of this team, because, Chris, he's not the problem on this team, and he wasn't last night for a large portion of that game. You're supposed to be able to rely on the dudes on your team. Like, everyone knows, I played offensive line with Zach Martin in college. I knew Zach was going to lock it down on that side so we'd have help to send to my you-know-what at right guard. Like, and I needed it for a lot of those times. That Washington football team is supposed to know, hey, our four-man pass rush, they're going to be enough to get it done. And last night, them not being enough to get it done against the Giants offensive line that has improved in some spots and played better than they'll get credit for last night is still an indictment of where that unit's at based on the capital they've invested in it.
Oh, no question about it, Mike. And you mentioned it earlier in our pre-show meeting, talking about the stats and the box score. And a lot of people will think, well, when you look at the football team having 4 sacks and 7 quarterback hits, that it's more of the same issues with the Giants' offensive line, giving it up and allowing too much pressure on Daniel Jones. But that wasn't the case in the game last night. Anybody that has eyes and knows what they're looking at will tell you that a lot of those sacks that Daniel Jones got last night, those were thanks in large part to the coverage that the football team had on the back end downfield. Those were coverage sacks. So it's just That's one of those situations where the quarterback has got to be a little bit better in terms of being able to protect himself. But that football team defense has got a lot of questions, and they were supposed to be a known quantity coming into this year. They got a lot of questions after the first two games because, I mean, they got lit up by Justin Herbert, even though the scoreboard wouldn't show it. They got lit up by Justin Herbert in that passing attack by the Chargers. And then last night, you let a team that scored 7 points in the first 58 minutes of their week one game hang 29 on you. That's the state of the Washington football team. That front four, all those first-round draft picks, they didn't get the return on investment on that last night. They really didn't impact the game to the degree that Jack Del Rio was hoping they would. There was a lot of undisciplined errors, a lot of guys jumping out of gaps both in the run game and the pass game. And when your defensive coordinator dials up pressures, you can't jump out of your gap and into one of your other teammates' gaps, especially when that teammate is coming unblocked. So they've got to get that stuff cleaned up, and until they do, they're not going to play up to their potential. But as far as the outlook for the football team, as well as Taylor Heinicke played, it's going to be hard for me to believe in this team because of some of the things that I'm seeing on the defensive side of the ball. And right now, Mike, if I'm power ranking the teams in the division, I've got the football team third behind the Eagles and behind the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I think quietly, because we talked about this, for the Cowboys, if you don't win this division after what we've seen so far through this portion of the season, burn everything to the ground. Like, I'm fairly confident they can handle that much, even with the limitations on defense. But, Chris, this Eagles team, the goals are different for that squad this year, right? Like, you're trying to figure some things out. Nick Sirianni's there in his first year as a head coach. You've got Jalen Hurts, who's just trying to show that he can be the guy. He's sort of a one-year trial at quarterback. They seemed remarkably consistent week one. Like, and I know it's a one-game sample size, but Chris, they look steady in the places that you need to be, in the places that we've lauded the Patriots for being around Mac Jones, and I feel like that gives you a fair amount of confidence. Not that I think they're going to win the division or be some playoff team, but that they can set the foundation for whatever comes next in year one with a head coach who a lot of people had questions about.
Oh, no question about it. I think that's where you have to focus on for the Eagles, right? Do they have the infrastructure to be able to evaluate Jalen Hurts? And the answer after week one is yes. And the big part of that is the offensive line. I mean, that group is pretty good. I mean, you're looking at the Dallas Cowboys offensive line and then look at the Eagles offensive line. I think those groups are right there in terms of their effectiveness, their productivity. So it'd be interesting to watch. There's a step up in class for the Eagles this weekend because they're playing against the 49ers. So I want to see what they're going to do against that defensive front. But as far as what we've seen from them in the early going under Nick Sirianni, I mean, it looks to be all good. So I'm excited to see more from that team. But right now, I just feel like I have to trust the Dallas Cowboys and what I've seen from Dak Prescott and that group as far as the NFC East division race goes. I got to give them the nod over the Eagles.
So the Dallas Cowboys, it is truly theirs to lose at this point. Taylor Heinicke may not be the man for the future, but he was enough for the Washington football team to beat the Giants 30-29 last night on Thursday Night Football. But Chris Canty came with the flamethrower today, said the Carter 2 is better than the Carter 3, one of the famed Lil Wayne albums that defined my early college career. And Jake in Denver has something to say about it. Jake, you're on Canty and Golic Jr., man. What do you got for Chris?
What's up, guys? How you doing? Yeah, Chris, respect, much love. But the Carter 2, come on. Come on. Three-peat? Three-peat? For me, back
in I'm not saying the Carter 3 is not a beast. See, that's the problem, Jake. You're hearing only what you want to hear. I'm not saying that the Carter 3 is not a beast of an album. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is the Carter 2, track to track, is a better album. Just go back and listen to it, man. I mean, the title track that was on the album wasn't even one of my favorites. Like, Fireman is one of the most popular songs on that album, and I think the song is trash. But the entire project is unbelievable. To me, that's the crown jewel in Lil Wayne's discography. There's no question about it in my mind.
Hold on. Jake, we appreciate the call. Thank you here. We just stumbled onto the even bigger one here. Fireman is trash.
Yes, Fireman. I said it. I said it and I meant it, Mike. Fireman is trash. When you compare it to the best rapper alive, Carter 2, I mean, Hustle Music, Receipts. I mean, just go down the list. Money on My Mind, The Mob, like track to track. I'm just saying the Carter 2 is a beast of an album.
Wow. All right. I thought I was ready for a lot today. And those songs are all great. They can be better. I just didn't know
I just
it reduced
need you
Fireman
to feel
to trash.
Me. I just need you to feel me like Lil Wayne said in the album. Like Deion Sanders, bring the corner back. That's what I'm saying. That album right there, the punchlines, the entire body of work, it's, like I said, Carter 3 is good. Carter 2 is better.
Whew, we all miss that, Lil Wayne, by the way. Reminder here as we try and, again, cool down the flames. Tune into an NL East rivalry Sunday. The Mets host the Phillies. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app and at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Coming up next, we'll see what kind of heat the Bear has got ready for us as we get you into the college football weekend, hopefully with a few more shekels in your pocket. Next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, at Mike Golic Jr., at Chris Kenny 99. Waiting on Chris the Bear Felica, co-host of Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast, to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Mike, before we get to the Bear, I got to ask you about a matchup that you and I were kicking around before the show. I mean, looking at the Maryland Terrapins visiting the Illini and knowing how big of a game that is for Coach Bielema, and just seeing the point spread on that one, I don't know if I feel too bad about the Terps laying 7 on the road in Illinois. What do you think about that game?
Now, it's pretty amazing, man. You and I were talking about this. Maryland's got an opportunity to stack a few wins before they head into the meat of this Big Ten schedule where they get the Ohio States and the Iowas of the world here. But this is a good team. I had them earlier in the season. Taulia Tagovailoa, Tua's younger brother, dealing there right now. Mike Locksley and that team running their version of that, you know, 2018 Bama offense that we saw do so well. I'm really into that team with the points. I just think they've been a really competent outfit, and they've solidified some stuff on the line of scrimmage, man. It's gonna be a fun one. I mean, Brett Bielema and company got off on a hot foot, upsetting Nebraska. I guess we'll call that an upset here at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm with you, man. Maryland and the points there is a pretty enticing one.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, too. But without further ado, let's get to it. We got the Bear on the line. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Just listening to your conversation there, and I don't know if I would be too anxious to be laying points here tonight on the road with Maryland. The Terps, that was a great one that they had against West Virginia, but I don't know if I'd be too anxious to laying 7 points in a road conference game this early in the season. We'll see what happens. Maryland's, I think, was one of those high ceiling, low seller type of teams, and we certainly can score some points. But we'll see if Illinois with Peters back tonight has anything to counter with that.
Gotcha. Well, let's go ahead and talk about a team that's actually still in the ACC. We got a matchup between Florida State. They're on the road against Wake Forest. And it's hard to think that a Florida State team would be a 4.5-point dog against Wake Forest. But that's where we find ourselves. Chris, can you break this one down for us? Tell us your thoughts on this ball game.
Yeah, I'm surprised that this number has actually come down a little bit, too. With Wake Forest down to a 4.5-point favorite. I like the Demon Deacons in this game. And I think we all kind of got excited on that exciting game on Sunday night between Notre Dame and Florida State and the Kenzie Milton story. And we're kind of losing sight of the fact that Milton's still only averaging like 5 yards a pass attempt. The other quarterback, Jordan Travis, has thrown 3 picks in just 22 pass attempts. The defense has a lot of problems. And on the other side of the ball, you've got Wake Forest here, who the best quarterback on the field is going to be Sam Hartman for the Deacs. And I think Dave Clawson and his team at times, the Demon Deacons, they kind of get overlooked a little bit for the talent that they have. I think people just kind of view them as a scrappy, go-getter type team and always overachieving. They've got some players on that team. So look, Florida State, you go back to 2017, their last 14 road games, they've only won 2 of them. One was against Steve Adazio's BC team, and the other was against Bobby Petrito's Louisville team. The 12 losses have been on average of 3 touchdowns a game. I think Wake Forest keeps those Seminole struggles continuing on Saturday. I like Wake Forest to win the game by a touchdown.
All right, so another struggle for Florida State. What about Oklahoma State on the road at Boise State and dogs in that game?
Well, it's a rare opportunity for Boise to get one of these Power 5 schools on the blue turf up in Boise. And I just don't know what to make of Oklahoma State. Jim Knowles has done a really good job with that defense, making them not only respectable, more than respectable on the defensive side of the ball. But at the same time, it feels like every week Spencer Sanders has an injury issue. They haven't been able to run the football for a couple of years now, it seems like. So I am going to trust Andy Avalos to come up with a nice defensive game plan. And I like the Broncos to beat Oklahoma State there up on that blue turf in Boise.
Chris the Bear Felico of Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast joins the show. And Chris, we got Northwestern on the road in Durham taking on the Duke Blue Devils. Where do you see value in that matchup?
Yeah, I'm not sure how good Northwestern is, to be quite honest with you. I think going on the road and you're a small favorite. Look, I know Duke is not one of the better teams in the ACC. They probably should have won that Charlotte game, giving up that late score. They got a good young quarterback, and I don't think Northwestern should be laying points on the road against anybody. So I'm going to take the Duke Blue Devils to pull the slight upset. I'll call it slight, getting 2.5 at home against Northwestern.
All right, nothing slight about this one, Chris. Fresno State on the road at UCLA, and UCLA, who's been playing bully ball through the first portion of the season, 11-point favorites in this one. Where are we at here?
Yeah, I think the first reaction that most people would have in this game is to take Fresno, because you saw what they did against Oregon, another blowout win over UConn, who's just non-competitive at the FBS level. But I kind of look at it and take a little bit of a different approach. I look back at that Fresno-Oregon game, and Oregon jumped out to a 14-0 lead pretty quickly. They led 21-6 in the game, and I almost wonder if at that point in the game, the Ducks maybe kind of just snuck a little peek ahead to that game in Columbus the following week, and then the Thibodeau injury certainly didn't help them at that game. The flow getting hurt didn't help them at all, and I think we might be overlooking how good UCLA potentially is. I think the fact that the Bruins had an off week since the blowout win over LSU, that will help. And I think the news about Clay Helton and that USC coaching job, that kind of has taken the Bruins out of the news cycle for a little bit. So I think that might help them as well. So I like UCLA. I think between Charbonnet and Britton Brown, they can run the ball. And I think they will get enough stops in this game to cover that big number against the Bulldogs.
Chris, real quick, last game we're going to ask you about. Pittsburgh lit up the scoreboard against Tennessee last week. They're hosting Western Michigan. How do you see the line in this one?
Pitt is one of those teams that when they're a big dog against a really good team, you want to be on them. But when they're laying north of two touchdowns against a good MAC team coming off of a road win and against an SEC team, this feels like trouble for Pitt. Now, I don't think they're going to lose the game, but I think at the very least, the back door is going to be open here, and I would take the Western Michigan Broncos there plus the 15.
Yeah, these are exactly the weeks where the Pitt super weapon generally tends to malfunction in some way, shape, or form. So, Chris, always a pleasure talking to you, man. Have fun at game day. Everyone, check out the podcast, Stanford Steve and the Bear, wherever you get your podcast. And we'll talk to you next week. All right, brother?
Absolutely. Have a great weekend, you too.
Awesome stuff there. College football is back. Tune in tomorrow. Oklahoma hosts Nebraska, presented by Dr. Pepper. Coverage begins at 11:30 a.m. Eastern. And believe me, they've let you know they're not happy about that on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Coming up next, though, the Bear, confident where he's laying his money. We'll tell you which quarterbacks we're confident putting the number on heading into this NFL weekend next on ESPN Radio.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, at Mike Golic Jr., at Chris Kenny 99, or you can join the conversation. Give us a call at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And Mike, it's right about this time. We're going to play a new game with our producer, Devin Kane, quarterback confidence meter heading into week two of the NFL season. So I am going to throw it over to Devin to get us into it. Let's get it going.
All right, Chris, let's start with the first quarterback on the list, Jalen Hurts. He went 27 for 35, 264 yards and 3 touchdowns in an impressive win last week. What's the confidence level for him, Chris?
I'm going to put the confidence level at a 6. It's a little above average because I was impressed by the poise that he showed in week one. It's a new offense, although I will say that the scheme that they're employing caters to his skill set. I was impressed by the way that he threw the football around the yard, and sure, he missed some reads, but the throws that he did make, he showed a variety of different throws that he had in the bag. The throw that impressed me the most was on third down in the red zone of Devontae Smith in the corner of the end zone on that fade route. Like, that's a touch throw. That's a big-time throw. And if he can continue to show flashes of that, then I think he's going to go up in my confidence meter. But right now, I'm going to put it at a 6. That offensive line being as good as it is also helps with me feeling more confident in his play.
You know what? I'll say a 7 just because I'm confident that he'll execute what they're asking him to do, right? Like, if you're asking me my confidence to lead a team in a game-winning drive where he's got to put everyone on their back, I'm probably not feeling that way about Jalen Hurts. But with what he's going to be asked to do, I'll make use of the meme. He understands the assignment. Jalen Hurts has proven that at every stop along the way, he can execute what they're asking him to do.
All right, Mike, next up, Sam Darnold, Carolina Panthers quarterback. Last week, 24 for 35, 279 yards, and one touchdown. They're going against the Saints at home. What's your confidence meter right now?
This is about a 4 right now. And this is no disrespect to Sam, but I saw what that Saints defense was able to do against Aaron Bleeping Rodgers last week. That's a unit that I think in the last few years we've seen them kind of oscillate between elite and just okay. And I think week one, they seem to be trending in that elite direction here. We know what they've assembled up front there with Cam Jordan, Marcus Davenport, but the back end there. And I know we'll wait and see how everything shakes out injury-wise, but I thought the second half Sam Darnold cooled off a little bit for them in Carolina. I think this is a team that could absolutely throw some cold water on those revenge game fires, so I'll go 4 for him.
Yeah, 4 is pretty low, Mike, and guess what? I don't think it's low enough. I'm going to actually half that. I'm going to go with the 2 with Sam Darnold, just because you mentioned it. I mean, Sam Darnold is a turnover machine, and he turned another one over in that game against the New York Jets. Now they just so happen to be playing against a team that's really, really bad. That's at the initial phases of a rebuild. So he could be able to overcome that. But, yeah, I don't have any confidence that Sam Darnold has gotten past his turnover woes. And we've seen that Saints defense the last 4 years has been one of the better defenses in the National Football League. So my confidence in Sam Darnold is a 2 heading into week 2.
All right, guys, if I told you that the quarterback that had the highest rate of off-target passes was Aaron Rodgers, would you believe me? Chris, what is the confidence meter going into the Lions-Packers Monday night for Aaron Rodgers?
My confidence in Aaron Rodgers is a 10. That's right, a 10. A freaking 10. That's how high it is. Just because Aaron Rodgers, after he gets an L, he is money the last 3 years. He's got a 6-0 record, 65 QBR, touchdown to interception ratio of 16-0, and a completion percentage of 68. So when Aaron Rodgers says pump the brakes, everybody just chill out. Take the man at his word. R-E-L-A-X, relax. He's going to get it done in prime time against the Detroit Lions.
R-E-L-A-X, relax.
You know what, Chris? I'll go slightly lesser and just go at a 9. Just because we know the seeds of doubt were planted this offseason by him. Just because we know he thought longer and harder about retirement than ever before here. I still think the bad man's going to go and do bad man things and that this isn't going to be where Detroit gets somebody got. But I'll take a little bit off it just for that reason.
All right, let's do 2 more quickly. Lamar Jackson, he had 3 fumbles last week and a loss. He is just the 4th player since 1980, regardless of position, to lose a fumble in the 4th quarter and in overtime. Mike, Lamar Jackson, confidence meter, go.
I'll do this one a 9-2. I'm confident as hell in Lamar Jackson. I want to see Greg Roman and company help that man out here. You shouldn't be running for your life against the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't care that they added Yannick Ngakoue to that team. You should not be running for your life against that team. They got to do more to help Buddy out because he was out there putting on the circus show again, trying like everything in him to get loose and keep that team in it. I'm good on Lamar.
Listen, I trust Lamar. I just don't trust the circumstances that he's in right now. And as a result, I think he's going to make some mistakes. So I'm going to put my confidence at a 7, Mike. Just because, like you mentioned, Lamar is going to have to play hero ball to overcome some of the injury issues that offense has had early on. And you compound that with the fact that that defense is a little shorthanded on the back end going up against the most prolific passing attack in the National Football League led by Pat Mahomes. So I think Lamar Jackson knows he's going to have to do a lot in order for them to be able to come out of this Sunday night game with a win. And I think that's going to lead to him making some mistakes. But that being said, I do think he'll look better than he looked in that Monday night game against the Raiders. So I'm going to put my confidence in Lamar right at a 7.
All right, last one, Chris. Two in Miami. 13 of 14 with a pass touchdown on throwers fewer than 10 yards down the field compared to 3 of 13 on deeper passes. You can see the trend there. What do we got the confidence with him?
I got it at a 4. It's just below average. I don't trust Tua, and he showed it in that game against the Pats. Another late-game turnover. It makes no sense to throw the ball in that situation, in that coverage, knowing that your team has a lead. But we've seen these errors in judgment, his decision-making, and I don't think that Brian Flores and company have coached that out of him. So, yeah, I'm going to put my confidence in Tua in week 2 at a 4.
I'm going to go with 6. I think Tua against the resurgent Kidsey ghost defense from the Patriots was a staunch week 1 test with all they've gotten back in that group. I don't think the Bills are quite at that same point. I'm worried about the O-line. You mentioned circumstances. I still know they've kind of jumbled pieces there. The talent hasn't yet ascended to a place where I'm comfortable. I think we're going to start to see him take better care of the football. I think it's going to start this weekend. So I'll go with 6. I'm not crazy. But again, I have Tua on like 3 fantasy teams, so this probably is a little bit self-serving. But I digress. So there we go. Quarterback confidence heading into week 2 of the NFL season. Coming up next, we will keep that same energy taking you into a football weekend. We will do that after this word from DraftKings. Now, it's good to see teams back out there on the gridiron. And lucky for us, it's just week 1, baby. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, is putting you right in the center of the action for week 2. New customers get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes, all with their first deposit by signing up using code CJR. Get in on the action now. It's simple. You pick a lineup, you stay under the salary cap, and you see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. You can also play your family and whoop their you-know-whats like I did this last weekend. Just download the DraftKings app now and use code CJR. This week, new customers going to get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter that code CJR and get your free shot at millions all with your first deposit. That's code CJR only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Let's see a man about a big drum next on ESPN Radio.
Kenny and Golic Jr., ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we got to give a shout-out to our guest on the show today, Dan Dugan, Giants reporter for The Athletic. We have my boy Marcus Spears stop through. Let me see if I can get that out. And then we had Chris the Bear Felica from Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast also join us and get you primed for college football and some of those lines. But, Mike, it's Friday. It's our last segment of the show, so you know what time it is. We got to go with a little segment we like to call Keep That Same Energy.
Who? And, Chris, let me start by saying this. I consider myself an unbiased college football analyst 9 times out of 10 here at ESPN. I pride myself on splitting this thing right down the middle and approaching this even keel. So I want to say, as a college football analyst, Notre Dame-Purdue this weekend could actually be an interesting game. That Purdue passing offense against a Notre Dame defense that's been giving up big plays is going to be an interesting one to watch in South Bend. That being said, the talk has not been about what's going on in the field, so now I'll tilt the fan cap on. Purdue folks are all bent out of shape because the world's largest drum, which is a Purdue tradition that is turning 100 years old this season. It's just what it sounds like. It's a big drum they bring out onto the field. They're all hot and bothered because Notre Dame Stadium, which made renovations in 2017 that included the addition of a tiny tunnel for the opposing team and their band to come out of, restricting access to the big tunnel, the fame tunnel, to only the Notre Dame football team and their band. The Purdue folks are all hot and bothered because they can't get their big drum on the road to South Bend to celebrate that 100-year. Chris, I'm so over this one. I mean, really, we're going to cry all these crocodile tears for a big drum that you can't fit out there. I'm glad we make the visiting teams come out of that tiny tunnel. I'm glad we stop giving them the treatment of being able to come down the fame tunnel at Notre Dame Stadium. Y'all can go over there in that little concrete one and keep your big drum outside of the stadium. You can bang it in the parking lot all you want. It not coming in the house that Rockne built. Not today, not ever.
Well, Mike, maybe they're upset because they feel like that's really the only win that they're going to get this weekend in South Bend. Maybe that's the issue because, I mean, I feel like this should be something that an engineering school should be able to figure out in terms of solving the problem of how to get their drum out there on the field. I don't understand why they're making such a big stink out of it. The only thing that makes sense in my mind is they feel like the only way we're going to get a win is if our band beats their band, because it's not going to happen with our football team against their guys.
Chris, I'm not going to lie. We almost lost to Toledo last weekend.
That's a fair point. That is a fair point.
I'm a little worried, which is why I'm lashing out about the drum, because this is a spot where I can get a win, because you can't bring your big drum through that little tunnel.
Mike, will the real Jack Cone please stand up? I don't know who we're going to get from week to week with this dude. I'm just saying, will the real Jack Cone please stand up?
You know, I'm guessing that most Notre Dame fans have about as much hair left as Mike Golic Jr., which is to say, not a lot.
Who in the hell was that? Hold on. Who in the hell was that?
I did not know that was coming.
That was Trevor Maddich, College Game Day, ESPN Radio.
Wow!
Shots fired.
That's big guy on big guy
crime.
That
one's been in the bank for 6 days now. Been waiting to use it.
Whoo! All right. I got to get my head together here, which does have very few hairs on it, but I digress here. Trevor Maddich, I did not think he was going to be the one to betray me like this.
Off the top rope, by the way.
All right. You know what? That's what I get for yelling and screaming about the big dumb drum. Keeping that same energy here. How about this from Lions running back Jamal Williams, the former Packers running back, got to the podium talking about second chance in Detroit. Here's what he had to say.
Basically, I got a rebound. It was the Lions. They picked me up. You know what I mean? Now they feed me good, take me to dinners. You know what I mean? Another man's trash is another man's treasure.
I appreciate him getting ready to head back into a Monday night tilt against his former team, going out there and trying to act like he is all sorts of happy with his new boo.
Listen, I respect the glow up from Jamal Williams being able to have a chance to get some burn and actually shine when you get your opportunity. But let's be honest, if we're keeping it a buck, Jamal Williams did not win the breakup between him and the Green Bay Packers. It just didn't go down like that. But it was a highly entertaining soundbite, and it did take me back to 2018 when Deion Lewis, who was a former Patriot, had the opportunity to play against his former team, and the Titans slapped him around, and after the game, he had the soundbite of the century when it comes to running backs. He says, that's what happens when you go cheap. You get your ass whipped. That's what happened in that game. It reminded me of that moment, but I digress.
One of the all-time mic drops there. Take advantage because the house always wins in most of these gambles. But when you are finally on the winning side, you take that opportunity to stunt. Speaking of former Patriots, though, Chris, keeping that same energy, how about Tom Brady doing a sit-down with Rob Gronkowski here? The 44-year-old admitted to wanting to stave off retirement potentially for another 6 years. Gronk asked, can Tom Brady play until he is 50 years old? And Brady replied, I don't find it so difficult. Plus, in Florida, it's kind of a retiree state, so I can play and then just glide off into retirement. I think I can. I think it's a yes. There are so many people crying out for him to just leave us the hell alone and stop attacking us.
Mike, I mean, at this point, we just have to take Tom Brady at his word, right? I mean, that's kind of where we're at with this whole thing. I mean, how can you doubt Tom Brady? If he says he thinks he can play till he's 50 years old, are you really going to be the one to be the first to the party and say that he can't do it? Do you really want to be that guy, knowing what he's already accomplished? I know I'm not. I've seen it firsthand what that dude can do. And I actually won against him in the Super Bowl. I'm just saying, if Tom Brady says he can get something done, who the hell am I to doubt him?
Keep That Same Energy is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. We have had them stick around long enough for Tom Brady to become someone funny and kind of likable on social media. Nick Saban's out here making D's jokes. It is a strange timeline going up against the all-time greats here. Stick around here on ESPN Radio. Spain and Fitz, some all-time greats coming up next.